Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's a moment in every unsettling story where the air itself changes. It's subtle, like the shift in the atmosphere right before a storm. You can't always put your finger on it, but you can feel it. You know something isn't right, and yet you try to rationalize it to convince yourself that it's just your imagination. But what if, just for a moment, it isn't? What if the discomfort, the unease, the unexplained feelings aren't just in your head? What if something unseen, something darker, is stirring in the shadows? Our story today comes from someone who found themselves in that very situation. A teenager caught in a strange and inexplicable web of emotions, confusion, and fear after moving into a new home. A house that should have brought comfort, joy, and peace to a young family, but instead it became a place of division, darkness, and something far worse. The house seemed perfect at first, serene, welcoming, but over time that sense of peace dissolved. The protagonist, once full of hope, found themselves overwhelmed by emotions they couldn't control, watching their family crumble, one argument at a time. And that's when the strange occurrences started, fleeting shadows, whispered feelings of being watched, a sense of hostility where there once was warmth. But it didn't end there. The house, that house, held something darker, something far more sinister, that slowly began to drag the protagonist and their family into its depths. Let's get to the letter they write. Dear Tony, when we first moved into that house, I didn't think much of it. My parents had been looking for a place of our own for years, and finally we found something. I was 14 at the time, and I couldn't believe that this was going to be our home, a real home. No more apartments, no more sharing walls with neighbors who had no regard for our privacy. This house was spacious, quiet, and I got my own room, something I'd always dreamed about. The walls felt like they were filled with potential, and I couldn't wait to fill them with my own things, my own memories. The first few weeks were perfect. My two sisters, who were 9 at the time, and my little 3-year-old sister were all happy, content, and full of energy. We spent time together as a family like never before. We laughed, we talked about things we'd never discussed before, and for a while, it seemed like we were closer than we'd ever been. The house felt safe, peaceful. It felt like everything was finally falling into place. As with any story like this, it didn't stay that way. At first, it was just small things, little changes. I began to feel a sort of tension in the air that I couldn't explain. I was growing angry, frustrated, for no reason at all. At first, I thought it was just normal teenage stuff, the usual mood swings, but it wasn't just me. My sisters, who had always been close, almost inseparable, started to pull away from each other. They stopped talking, stopped playing together. That was strange. Twins who'd been so in tune with each other suddenly couldn't stand to be in the same room. It felt unnatural. And then my parents, who had never fought before, started arguing over nothing. A misplaced phone bill, a forgotten chore, it didn't matter. They fought over the smallest things, raising their voices for no reason, and it made me uncomfortable. It wasn't like them. They'd always been calm, collected, and suddenly, they couldn't seem to get along. At one point, I caught my dad saying something to my mom that I'd never heard before. Something about how they couldn't seem to talk without it turning into a fight. The worst part, the doors. In every place we had lived, we'd always left doors open. We never locked rooms in our house. It wasn't necessary. But after we moved in, something changed. All of a sudden, doors were locked all the time. And not just the ones to our bedrooms. The door to the bathroom, the closets, they were locked. I'd get up in the middle of the night needing something, and I'd find myself at a door I knew was open before. But now it was shut, locked tight. I didn't know what was going on, but I could feel something off. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was changing. Something was wrong. It wasn't just the family. It was the house, too. You could almost feel it in the air, the temperature shifting, the strange drafts, the flicker of the lights at night, things that could easily be explained away. But they weren't. One evening I came home from school, and for the first time I felt it the moment I walked through the door, this overwhelming sense of anger. It was like the air was thick with it. It wasn't even directed at anyone. I wasn't mad at anyone in particular, but the frustration, the tension, it was all around me, like a cloud that wouldn't leave. And the worst part? It wasn't just me. My sisters were acting the same. We'd all become short-tempered, quick to snap at one another, and I found myself feeling jealous of my sisters over the smallest things. I'd never felt like that before. I don't know how to explain it, but I began to feel this presence, like something was watching me, always. Even when I was alone in my room, I felt like eyes were on me, just waiting for me to turn around to acknowledge it. But when I did, there was nothing, just silence. Things got worse after that. One evening, after another fight between my parents, I couldn't take it anymore. I went for a walk. I thought I could clear my head, just a walk around the block. But when I left, the door slammed behind me. There was no wind, no draft, it just slammed. I didn't think much of it at first, but as I walked, I felt it again. This feeling that someone was watching me. And as much as I tried to shake it off, it stuck with me. It was like something was following me. But when I looked behind me, there was nothing. It was already dark by the time I came back, and as I entered the house, I felt that same weight. That same cold, unnerving feeling that something was wrong. I didn't say a word to anyone. I just went straight to my room, shut the door, and sat in the silence. It wasn't the silence of peace. It was oppressive, like the walls were closing in. That night I went to bed, but it wasn't a peaceful sleep. I remember waking up around 3 a.m. My room felt different, heavy, like there was someone there, someone who shouldn't be. I looked into the hallway and I remember seeing nothing, but I could feel it. It felt like someone was sitting at the edge of my bed. I froze. My heart pounded in my chest, and before I could even react, I felt this pressure on my feet. Like something, someone was grabbing them. At first, I thought I was just imagining it, but the pressure grew stronger, like fingers digging into my ankles, pulling at me. I tried to move to scream, but nothing happened. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. It was like I was paralyzed, trapped in my own bed. I could hear the blood rushing in my ears, but everything else was quiet, eerily quiet. I tried to fight it, tried to scream, but nothing came out. I couldn't even cry out for my parents. It wasn't a dream, and that's when it started to drag me. The sensation of being pulled from my bed was like nothing I'd ever felt before. At first, it was subtle, just a gentle tug on my feet, but then it grew stronger, more forceful. It was as if something or someone was trying to drag me out of my bed and into the hallway. My body was frozen in place, my mind screaming, but no sound escaped. I was trapped in that moment, unable to move, unable to escape whatever this was. I tried everything I could think of. I fought against it, tried to move, to shift away. But the more I struggled, the harder the pull became. It was like I was sinking into the bed. My legs were heavy, but my upper body remained on the mattress. I couldn't explain it, but there was this strange, unnatural resistance, as though something was fighting with me. The weight pressing down on my feet grew heavier, and I could feel the invisible force tugging at my ankles, dragging me toward the door. I felt completely powerless. This was not just fear, it was terror, a cold, deep fear that gripped me so tightly that it seemed to take away all of my strength. All I could do was think, please stop this. My mind raced, but I didn't know what to do. I thought of my parents' room, right next door. Why wasn't anyone coming? Why couldn't I call for help? And then out of desperation, I began to pray. I didn't say the words aloud, but in my mind, I just begged. I called out for help, for anything, for a way to make it stop. I prayed with everything I had, and suddenly, everything halted. The tugging, the weight, it all stopped. But I wasn't free yet. I still felt something, a coldness, a presence lingering at the edge of my bed. It was like something was holding me in place, pushing against my chest, keeping me from moving. I didn't know if the prayer had worked or if this thing had simply paused, but either way, I felt as if something was keeping me there. My lower half was still being pulled, my feet dangling just above the floor, but my upper body remained rooted to the bed. I stayed like that for what felt like an eternity, caught between two worlds. The one where I was trapped and the one where I desperately wanted to escape. I couldn't speak. I couldn't scream. My mind was racing, but nothing would come out of my mouth. I remember feeling so completely alone, even though I was in a house full of people. No one could hear me. No one could help. But then, it ended. Just as quickly as it started, the pressure lifted. It was as though the thing that had been dragging me, pulling me, suddenly let go. I wasn't sure what had happened, but I knew one thing for sure. I could finally scream. And I did. I screamed louder than I had ever screamed in my life, desperate for anyone to hear me. I kicked and fought against the bed, trying to pull myself away from whatever invisible force had been trying to drag me into the hallway. Seconds later, my parents rushed into the room. Their faces were filled with concern, fear, confusion. They didn't understand what had happened, but they were there holding me, comforting me. In their arms, I felt a sense of safety, but the terror didn't leave me. It was still there, lingering in the back of my mind. Something had been in that room with me, something I couldn't explain. As I lay there in my parents' arms, I tried to tell them what happened, but the words didn't come easily. They asked me what had happened, but I couldn't even begin to explain it. I didn't know how to make them understand. How could I explain something so unbelievable, something so terrifying, to people who hadn't experienced it themselves? When they left my room, I felt a strange sense of relief, but that relief was short-lived. Even though I was no longer being pulled from my bed, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was still there, still watching me. And it wasn't just me. A few days later, my mom sat me down and told me that she had experienced something strange too. She said that sometimes in the middle of the night, she would feel her bed move as though something was under it. She would feel a pressure, like something was shifting beneath her. But when she checked, there was nothing there. She had never mentioned it before, but now she was saying she wasn't sure what to think. It wasn't just me. It wasn't just my imagination. That's when I started to realize that maybe the house wasn't just affecting me. Maybe it was affecting all of us. My family had become different since we moved in. We had become angry, distant, and now we were all experiencing strange things. I couldn't help but wonder, was it the house? Was there something in that place that was feeding on our emotions, twisting them into something darker? The tension in the house had never gone away, but now it was more palpable than ever. It was like the house itself had become a part of us, shaping our emotions, amplifying our fears. But what was it really? Was it just an old house, or was there something else, something darker, something more sinister? And then things took another turn. One night, after another argument between my parents, I decided I couldn't take it anymore. I needed to get away, so I went for a walk around the block. But when I left the house, the door slammed behind me, and I knew then that something wasn't right. I couldn't explain it, but I felt like I was being watched. The feeling never left me, even as I walked in the dark. By the time I returned, the house felt different. It felt cold, empty, like the walls were closing in on me. I went straight to my room, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was following me. I was alone, but I wasn't alone, and that feeling would stay with me until we left. What's unsettling about this story isn't just the terrifying events that unfolded in that house, but the fact that it sounds too real. The emotions, the sudden bursts of anger, jealousy, and confusion that plagued the protagonist and their family are not just psychological struggles, but are deeply tied to the house itself. It's a rare experience, but it's not unheard of. Environments that seem to mold the people within them, twisting emotions, amplifying negative feelings. It's possible that the house itself, with its age and history, was charged with some kind of energy, something residual from past events, or perhaps something darker, feeding off the emotional turmoil of the family living inside. We've seen in other cases in various forms of psychological trauma that people can be influenced by their surroundings in ways that aren't immediately apparent. Houses with histories, old houses, houses with secrets, can carry with them an invisible weight, a heaviness. For some, that weight is just a part of the house's structure, a product of years of neglect or isolation. But for others, it's something far more sinister. Perhaps it was this unseen force in the home turning the family's small daily grievances into all-consuming arguments, pushing them toward darker, more destructive behaviors. But let's not dismiss the possibility that this family was dealing with something truly paranormal. The sudden, unexplained physical experiences, the pressure on the feet, the tugging, the feeling of something unseen sitting beside them, are consistent with many reports of hauntings. There's an eeriness to the feeling of being watched, an invasive energy that others have described in similar situations. The sensation of paralysis, the tugging, the coldness, it all speaks to something far beyond just emotional disturbance. We can't ignore the psychological component either. The mind can play tricks when it's under stress. It can create visions, sounds, even physical sensations. But in cases like this, where multiple people experience strange phenomena, you have to ask, is it all in their heads, or is there something more at work? Maybe this house was something more than just a structure. Maybe it was a vessel for something far older, something tied to the land, the walls, the very foundation that couldn't be easily shaken off. What makes this case particularly unnerving is that we don't have an answer. The house, like so many other haunted locations, holds its secrets tightly. We may never know exactly what was going on inside those walls, what drove the family apart, or what tried to drag the protagonist into the darkness. But one thing is certain, the fear, the anger, the unease, it was real. The experience was real, and it was powerful enough to change a family forever. And as for that house, it remains a mystery. Was it a coincidence that the family fell apart, or was something in the house orchestrating their demise? Was there a force there pushing them to the edge? Whatever the truth is, it's clear that some places are more than just houses. They are living things, breathing, watching, waiting. It's not just the walls that carry history. Sometimes it's the very energy that lingers within them, and sometimes that energy can be more than anyone can bear. This story remains unsolved. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more stories that will make you question what you thought you knew about the world around you.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.